Mr. Eagle, how much time would you like to reserve?
You know, I think I'm going to reserve 4 minutes, please.
Four? All right, you may proceed when ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good, may please the court. Good morning, counsel. Your Honor, we're presenting to the court, as you're aware today, a petition for a writ of quo warranto, which is pending before the court on cross motions for summary judgment and an original action. And presenting in that context, Your Honor, is what I think, of course, is a very important issue, not just for the people of Brown County, but for the entire state, because we are calling into question the legal right of a person who is acting like an elected official to hold that office, and asking this court to reverse an election because the person who's holding that office is not qualified for that position.
Which election should we reverse? 2000, 2004, 2008? Which one are you saying we should reverse?
I think the only one you can reverse, Your Honor, is the one that's not expired. There's that Supreme Court case I cited that says terms in the past or terms in the past. You can only reverse the one that he's holding now. I think that's fairly clear from what the Supreme Court has said in that one case.
So the decision-making that was done by the Board of Elections in 2000 and 2004 is not in question at this point?
One, I don't think the Board of Elections actually did any decision-making, Your Honor.
By statute, they have to make a decision that he's qualified, don't they, before they put him on the ballot?
Not if it's not challenged, Your Honor. If you fill out a form, I mean, you've ran for office more than I have, but you fill out a form to be put on a ballot, you check the boxes, you say, I did this and I did that.
They have no independent responsibility to do any verification of the information.
No, none at all. Not unless it's challenged by someone with standing to do so. As your court, Your Honor, may recall, that was attempted, and it was determined that Mr. Barnow had no such standing because he was an independent and Mr. Wininger was a partisan. That, I don't think, has anything to do with the status of this case, Your Honor. You will not find anywhere in any record any decision by this Board of Elections in Brown County determining that these qualifications were made. And in fact, if you look at the reported case of State versus Wininger, the court in fact said that the state has made its case that he was not qualified to serve. The issue was, in the criminal case, did he knowingly falsify his election credentials? That's beside the point, I think, in the context of this case, Your Honor. In the context of this case, we're saying that he is illegally holding the office for two very specific reasons, and we're asking the court to apply the law the way it's written.
Tell me what 311.01F2 means when it says each Board of Elections shall certify whether or not a candidate for the office of sheriff who has filed a declaration of candidacy, a statement of candidacy, or a declaration of intent to be a write-in candidate meets the qualifications specified in Division B and C of the section. Specifically, what does that statute say? Unless I'm misreading it, it says they shall certify whether that candidate meets those qualifications. That's their responsibility by statute, isn't it?
To look at the form that's filled out when someone is placed on a ballot and see, did they check the boxes? Did they answer the questions to say that they're qualified? No one has ever done any, as far as the Board of Elections is concerned, Your Honor, work to see, were the qualifications that he put on his form actually verified? Otherwise, how could there have been an indictment for falsifying them? How could there have been a reported case saying that the state has met its burden of proof to avoid a directed verdict, so to speak? The Board of Elections doesn't do anything, Your Honor, other than, did you fill out the forms right? Did you say you meet the qualifications? Now, I agree with you that if there was a challenge by someone who had standing to challenge it, there can be a contested proceeding on that point. Never happened, ever, at any time. And so even if they said, okay, you can be put on the ballot, that has nothing to do, I think, with the status of this case. Otherwise, Your Honor, anyone who has ever ran for office and held the office would never be subjected to a quo warranto, ever. Because
there was no contest in 2004?
Not any contested contest. A person withdrew their protest before it was made for determination, and then there was Mr. Barnhouse, as you know, after that, but has determined that he had no standing because he was an independent candidate, and the statute says independents can't challenge partisans. No contested proceeding of any kind, and Your Honor will not find one. Will not find one of any kind anywhere in this record. And there would never be a quo warranto action ever against anyone in an office, Your Honor, if all you have to do is get the Board of Elections to certify you can run for the office. In every case we've ever cited to, Your Honors, where quo warrantos were granted, removing someone from an elected office, the person ran for the office, the Board of Elections put them on the ballot, but they were still removed from the office. That has no legal significance that I can think of any kind. What does have legal significance, Your Honor, is specifically these two statutory requirements that Mr. Wininger does not meet. And I'll remind Your Honor that the statute says no person shall hold that office if they don't meet those qualifications. The administrative code says no person shall exercise the authority of the office if they do not meet those qualifications. There is no dispute of any kind that when Mr. Weninger graduated from high school in 1986, he started post-secondary education in August of 1986, got a diploma from this institution, TTI, in October of 1987, 14 months later, a little bit more than 4.5 semester quarters. The statute requires a 2-year degree from an institution certified or accredited by the Ohio Board of Regents at that time. A 2-year degree. And by his own admission, he only went to that school for 14 months. By his own admission and every other evidence in the record, that school was never accredited by the Ohio Board of Regents at any time, anywhere, of any kind. That was his educational qualification that he ran for office originally. He did not meet the educational qualifications, and so when he took the office January 1st of 2001, he, having been elected, signed his own appointment, which is what sheriffs do, as a peace officer, sheriff of the Brown County. He had no authority to issue that appointment of himself because he was not educationally qualified. The Supreme Court in Wolf versus Delaware County said that if a person is elected for office but is not qualified for it, they have to cure the deficiency in their qualifications immediately upon taking office or they forfeit their office. So what Mr. Weninger did, not meeting the educational qualifications at all, and there's no evidence that he ever did, no one has ever presented any, took the office, appointed himself as Brown County Sheriff, and began to hold the office. It was an illegal appointment. The statutes and the case law is clear. It's an invalid appointment. Statutes also say that if you go 4 years without a valid appointment, your peace officer certification expires. It lapses. It's like it never happened. You have to start over with the Peace Officer Training Academy. January 3rd of 2005, more than 4 years after he illegally appointed himself to the office of Brown County Sheriff, he took his next term. There was that break in service, and the statute says after 4 years without a valid appointment, you can no longer hold the office. You're not qualified anymore, Your Honors. You have no peace officer certification. He took the office after a break in service. That minute, he had two reasons why he was no longer qualified to act as sheriff of Brown County. He had no educational qualification. He had no active valid peace officer certification. And he's been holding the office ever since. Now, only a person with standing can do anything about that in a legal sense, and Your Honors are correct. If nobody, if everyone turns a blind eye, he can hold the office forever. You guys could hold the office forever. I could have walked in the door that day and signed the certification of him as sheriff. It had no more legal significance than that if somebody doesn't challenge him. Someone ran against him, Mr. Barnow, in the 2008 election, who was clearly qualified for the office. No one has ever challenged his qualifications for the office. He got, without Mr. Weninger, he was the second vote getter. He's entitled to that office. He has standing to challenge it. He's now before the court asking Your Honors to enforce the law the way it's written. And all it says is this man has never met the qualifications for that office. The writ of Coronto is designed to cure these problems, Your Honor. Sometimes, as Your Honors are aware, there can be localities who either have indifference or biases or favoritisms or other reasons why they're not going to do anything about applying the law. And we turn to the courts like this court, who can objectively look at those things without worrying about favoritisms or biases or even indifference, which sometimes can happen in local politics, as Your Honor is aware. And we're asking Your Honors to take the very serious step, but the important step, of reading the law and applying it the way it says it has to be applied, and that is that he never met these qualifications. He is illegally holding the office. He should not have been given the office, and Mr. Varnell is the only one that should be. And issuing the writ will remove Mr. Weninger from the office he's illegally holding and instate Mr. Barnow to do that. I'm prepared to answer any other questions, but if not, I'll save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Dismissal. All right.
Your Honor, thank you.
Mr. Rosenhofer.
The court and counsel, certainly we disagree on the legal aspects of this case. It's clear to us that the boards of elections do certify qualifications. I guess Mr. Gregory and I have a uniquely personal reason for saying that because we handled the state X. Rel. Stein versus Brown County Board of Elections case before the Supreme Court of Ohio, and you now have the Ross versus Crawford County. Clearly, boards of elections act as quasi-judicial bodies and make findings of facts with relation to certification.
Now, is that only when there's someone contesting the candidacy, or is that a requirement for every person who files a petition for candidacy?
The statute is as you read it, and it says shall certify the qualifications. It's a mandate, and in every instant they must do that. The unique thing about the sheriff's statute is it requires a multi-step process where more than one person goes through the certification of the process. The county judge, the common pleas judge, presiding judge also has obligations under the statute. The Board of Elections then must otherwise certify the fact of a valid peace officer training certificate, a high school diploma, and all of those materials. Every requirement, as we set forth in page 3 of our initial brief, the checklist we gave you, are in the Board of Elections materials that were received during discovery in this matter and should be in this record somewhere. All of those certificates. The only real issue or question it's a unique argument that the sheriff never legally held office. I'll make a couple observations historically. One, he was certified, as Your Honor, Judge Bressler has said, in 2000, 2004, and 2008. There's no question about that the Board of Elections certified him. What is interesting is at one point a protest was filed by one Ms. Martin. This should be in the record somewhere. Though the Board of Elections, Brown County Board of Elections, when I say Board of Elections, I'm talking about the Brown County Board of Elections, denied her protest, they also in their letter said, we'll go back and look at his qualifications again. And I believe that was in 2004. He also had a protest, a challenge in 2000. So each time that there's been one of these challenges, the Board of Elections has indicated and said, we'll go back and look again and make sure he meets the statutory criteria. As to the educational aspect.
Now, is all that going to be in the record in this case? The 2000 decision by the Board of Elections and the 2004 decision by the Board of Elections were indicating the actions that they took and the decisions that they made?
We should have gotten all of that information in the case.
This I understand should have, but my question is, did you?
I believe we did, because what happened is Mr. Eagle filed certain things in early August of 2009. We then partially responded to his initial filings of public record matters, on August 9th of 2009, and then we went on about the briefing process with relation to the cross motions for summary judgment. So there should be plenty of public record information through the Board of Elections and different bodies. But regardless of whether the information's in this record, the mandate of the Board of Elections is they shall determine the qualifications. That's their mandate. And they are a quasi-judicial body. And if we take nothing from the Ross versus Crawford County case that was decided about a month ago, what the Supreme Court said is they're a quasi-judicial body. They're allowed to retire and issue their decision later. And when you certify the person to the ballot, you've issued your decision. No different than when this court gets done with this oral argument, it's going to retire to chambers, it's going to have its discussions, and later, I assume, issue a decision. The other matter that I wanted to at least address, and we've tried to set forth the educational situation in this situation, that in fact proprietary schools were under the umbrella of the Board of Regents. Those affidavits of then Representative Callender, a member of the Board of Regents, is in the record, as is the affidavit of the proprietor of ITT. It's important to note that though there's an observation that the sheriff went 14 months, it was 14 months of full-time school, more than the two-year post-secondary that is required, and that's clear within this record. I'm certain of that. In addition to that, recognizing that the only challenge that can be made here is from 2008, President of the Senate White introduced or sought to it that certain legislation was introduced in, I want to say, mid-2002 that became effective in September of 2002 that straightened this whole thing up about the proprietary schools being under the Board of Regents auspices. So that issue is moot. What's fascinating to me, the Knowlton case, which Mr. Varnow cites, there's a big distinction between that case and this case. It was an election case, not a quo warranto case. An election case where Knowlton brought two actions, one in prohibition and one in mandamus. Mr. Varnow had the opportunity in September of 2008, I want to say, when he brought the mandamus before this court, but he didn't bring a prohibition. And so as we replied to the supplemental authority of Mr. Varnow, there's probably a big difference in that there's probably some issue preclusion here, because had Mr. Varnow brought the prohibition timely, that would have been in September of 2008, we may or may not be here. The fact is, he didn't bring a prohibition. He didn't give this court an opportunity to make a determination then. And perhaps, as occurred in Knowlton, strike Mr. Hannum from the ballot. And so we get into issue preclusion, I think, to some extent. We also get into the issue of laches. We're now working on our 11th year since the sheriff was first elected to office. It seems a bit of a stretch to go that far and say that all of a sudden I'm entitled because I ran against you, even though I was soundly defeated, which brings us really to the last point. Everybody understands the absolute power of the American ballot box and how there is the strongest presumption you can have as to the propriety of elections and the great hesitance to set aside an election. And I'll submit that there is simply what Mr. Varnow is trying to do is ask this court to substitute its judgment for that of a Board of Elections and give him something he couldn't otherwise obtain. Thank you. What's your questions?
You mentioned that you believe it's in the record with regards to these decisions that were made by the Brown County Board of Elections. While opposing counsel is going to argue his remaining 6 minutes, if you can look in your file and tell us where that is, that'd be very helpful.
Thank you very much for my 6 minutes. And counsel's going to work hard looking for that. It's not there, because it's never happened. I would remind the court, this is an original action, of course. There is a motion pending before the court filed August 21st, 2009, to strike some of the evidentiary materials filed by the respondent simply because it doesn't meet the qualifications of Civil Rule 56 on summary judgment. You'll see that and you'll rule on that.
Did the Brown County Board of Elections not perform their duty, which was to certify a candidate
not in the
qualified to be on the ballot?
Not in a judicial sense, Your Honor, because they have no reason
is there a certification somewhere that says we certify that this candidate is qualified to seek this office?
Somewhere, I assume there is, or he would not have been put on the ballot.
Okay.
You're going to find here that he was put on the ballot and votes were cast.
And did the commonplace judge perform his duty?
Ministerial duty, as the Supreme Court has described it, of simply checking off that a form was filled out. But, Your Honor, understand the context of the questions you're asking is if I run for an office unopposed, and for whatever reason the Board of Elections lets me, no one ever, till the end of time, can ever challenge my right to hold that office simply because a Board of Elections, unopposed, put someone on a ballot.
But don't they have statutory duty to certify whether you meet the... If you say,
and they can,
you want to run for judge and you're not a lawyer, don't they have a duty to see if you're a lawyer?
No. I think they do. But if they do, or if they do it wrong, Your Honor, you, honors, or anyone with jurisdiction over a quo warranto action has the right and the responsibility to fix it if they do it wrong. Boards of elections are not the final say-so over who is legally entitled to hold an office. They can run for an office. They can be elected. That's not the final say-so of who gets to, of whether or not they're qualified for that office. Otherwise, no quo warranto action could ever be filed against anyone, anytime, anywhere. And if I could convince a Board of Elections fraudulently that I'm qualified for the office, I get it forever. no matter when someone runs against me again, who has standing. Until someone ran against Mr. Weninger, there was no one with standing to challenge it. I have to bring to Your Honor's attention that in the previous case before the court where Mr. Varnow did challenge the Board of Elections, it was determined by the Common Pleas Court he had no standing to do so, and I'll quote, there is a legal remedy at law through a quo warranto action, and this court affirmed that decision. Here he is on that action that Your Honors, perhaps not the same three, but at least four judges, Common Pleas Court in Year 4, said he has standing now to file a quo warranto action. There's, to say that the Board of Elections is the final decision maker, you'll find no legal support for that, just like you'll find no legal or factual support that the Board of Elections ever engaged in any quasi-judicial functioning of any kind, any shape, or any form. Your Honor, in my reply on the summary judgments, which was filed August 10th of 2009, I point out the fallacy that this TTI institution could have given him credentials to run for the office of sheriff. They were never under accredited by the Board of Elections, by the Ohio Board of Regents. Your Honors will never find anywhere in any law saying that if you're under some umbrella or auspices, that that is the same thing. It is not the same thing. This law that he said was passed, which was became effective in 2003, which added to that, keep in mind, he's attempting to have that retroactively cure a deficient election from about 3 years before that, because it is unquestionable that he was unqualified to run for the election in 2000. It's unquestionable that he was unqualified to appoint himself as sheriff as 2001. It is therefore unquestionable that 4 years later he had no valid peace officer training certificate and therefore could not hold the office after 2005. And you've got someone in Brown County that no one other than his opponent in an election who has cared enough or had standing enough to do something about shoving those laws under the rug, so to speak. We're asking this court not to do that. That it's very clear, it's very simple, that he doesn't meet those two qualifications that we pointed out. There's no, you look at the record, you would pull out the pieces of paper that say so. You would pull out his own deposition testimony, which he admits that he did not have those qualifications. And this 2003 law does not change that. The fact that he held an office illegally cannot change that. The only thing that can change that is when someone with standing to do something about it does so. This court said Mr. Varnow did not have standing because he was an independent candidate and it was a partisan election. Applied the law, can't do it. You got a legal remedy by quo warranto. That's what the court said. That's what he's doing. And he's pointed out to this court, and the evidence will be, that there is no way to make a 14-month degree into a 2-year degree. There is no way to make an invalid peace officer training certificate a valid peace officer training certificate after the statute says it expires in 4 years. There's no way to cure those things. To say that he engaged in laches when within months of him having standing to challenge the person's qualifications, he did so in every way possible, both before the Board of Elections. They determined he had no standing, therefore they couldn't address his protest. Then in a writ of mandamus, which this court said he didn't have standing, he has to do a quo warranto after the election, and now he's done that. How you can say he has laches because he didn't do so for 6 years or 7 years or 8 years before he had standing, I think there's no legal support for that either. He did everything he could expeditiously have done to bring to the attention of someone with authority, Your Honors, that the man does not meet the qualifications to hold the office. And if this court doesn't do anything about it, of course no one ever will. No one ever can, which is what the writ exists for, to apply the law. The way it's written and according to the facts. And I stand corrected. If he finds anything that says the Board of Elections ever did anything on the merits, I don't think he's going to find that in the record or elsewhere because they never did. Your Honor, have any other questions?
Judge Henderson?
I haven't heard the buzzer go off, so I'm going to keep talking for no reason. If that, that's unnecessary, but thank you.
You don't have to worry about it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
In your record, you'll find in our August 13, 2009, there to records that were obtained from either by Mr. Varnow, really the Attorney General, the Board of Regents, or the Board of Elections, all obtained by petitioners that support our position.
All right. We'll review the exhibits that are officially in the record.
And you will also find attached to our August 20th brief similar documents. You will also find attached to our June 24th of 2010 supplement similar documents. And I'll suggest to you that Board of Elections, you'll find Board of Elections protest where they then said, we'll go back and we'll look at his qualifications again. That was in 2004 and 2008, and then they certified.
All right. We'll take the matter under advisement and be notified of our decision accordingly. Thank you, gentlemen.